It's the Gambling Files podcast, the podcast that hasn't fired its CEO in a hurry. In association with Sporting Tech. Hello and welcome to the Gambling Files podcast, the podcast that, as a result of being sponsored by Sporting Tech, is longer and thicker than all other podcasts available in the market for this industry, very specifically only for this industry. So anyway, I'm one of your hosts, John Bruford. My other host, if I say other host, is here, Fintan Costello. Fintan, hello.
I'm back. You did a I left, I came back. Now there's a sponsor, there's music, there's ads.
Yeah.
It's just, there's amazing guests. Like, I've been holding you back, John. I think that's what we've learned over the last few weeks.
No, I don't think it's so much that you've been holding me back as that you've just not been there to say, no, don't do that. That's a shit idea. Don't do that. That would be awful.
Well, I think if there's a situation where I'm the voice of restraint, then you know you're in a really bad place.
I've been to a lot of bad places, Fintan.
I could imagine.
There's a town near here called Craven Arms. Terrible place.
Sounds like a pub. It's called the Craven Arms. Surely that's a pub name.
Well, there is a pub called the Craven Arms, which, if I remember correctly, is in Kent. Although that might have been called the Earl of Plymouth. I don't know. I was very drunk, but I remember seeing a pub and thinking that should surely be in Shropshire. Anyway, I digress. It wasn't in Shropshire. It was in Kent, and I was shit-faced. I remember that weekend particularly well because a mate was trying to get something out of his bag. He reaches into his bag, and his razor was loose in there, and he had like a stripy cut down his finger, and it just really turned my stomach. It's just really grim way to get yourself. But that's about all I remember. I think I did karaoke as well.
What's your go-to karaoke song?
Well, I don't really have one because I do them all so well.
Yeah, but if you had to, like, John, you're going to go up on stage and do one song. What are you picking?
Oh, that is tough.
It's a tough one, right? I've got two, right?
Name them, please.
It depends on how badly I want to torture the audience. All right, so I can't sing. So anything by the Red Hot Chili Peppers is an easy kind of like, just get up there and shout it and everyone will sing with you. However, if I really want to make everyone feel uncomfortable, Bohemian Rhapsody. And just
butcher
it.
Because it's long as well.
Exactly. It's uncomfortably long.
Hey, I'll tell you what, there's a song that's really, really long that everybody forgets is really long. Staying Alive. Jesus fuck, that just goes on and on and on. Do you know, there's a chap I know. So, like, it's probably only about 7 or 8 years ago, but I used to help out some stallholders on Ludlow Market with setting up because, you know, my one and only marketable skill post zombie apocalypse is moving large, heavy objects. So I was just helping people move heavy shit around and that paid the rent for my office. Yeah, I was editing Casino International at the same time. People would be like, do you do other work as well? Yeah, I edit a business magazine for the international casino industry. Yeah, of course you do. Like, I'm fucking delusional. Anyway, so I used to help this guy set up his store and he used to sell hats and gloves, right? I used to call him Rob the Hat. Occasionally Rob the Gout, but mostly Rob the Hat. Rob's a lovely fella. Family hated him. Boring bastard on his best day. But he was a lovely guy. But he'd always insist on setting his stall up at like 6 a.m. There would be nobody in town. Nobody else even on the market. His stall would be completely set up. Van parked. Just bonkers. Anyway, getting slightly sidetracked here. Rob died, not of the gout. And I saw some mutual acquaintances. that had been to his funeral service, and his kids were there. They fucking hated him, apparently. And they had just been choosing the music for it, and he had a particular favorite song. And they didn't listen to the song before they...
Oh, no.
And this song in particular was Hotel California, which is fairly long.
Yeah.
But the live version is really, really long. Apparently, everybody's there for like 9 minutes, and this band's just like pretty much just jamming the second half of it, and everybody's like,
"It's another guitar solo."
Jesus, can I get in that coffin as well? And I'm sad to say I missed it. So God bless you, Rob the Hat. All kinds. He had those. He sold those special ones that I always call wanker hats. They're kind of leather. Trilby's? No, Trilby isn't a wanker hat. It's like a leather. It's like kind of looks a bit like if somebody that enjoyed fox hunting were to think of a cowboy hat, this is what it might look like. So it's kind of, it's got a wide brim, and there's usually a braided leather bit around the noggin bit. And okay. They're just shit horrible. Often worn by people wearing wax jackets.
I know the kind of hat.
Sell that kind of hat, I should say.
It's the one if you're JP McManus and you're watching your horses do the horse racing.
Exactly right.
I know the one.
I've done some strange things. It's coming to me now. I was once selling handbags at a poetry festival.
Is that a euphemism?
I'm really sad saying no, it's not. And I had Deb the Greek and Mick the Coin were on the next stall, old friends. Lovely, lovely people. Deb got told off in the first 5 minutes by the organizers. She's like, "Oh, this bloke, this customer, he was rooting through all the stuff and he was making a mess." I'm like, "I've just fucking laid that out. What are you playing at?" And so I got told off because I called him a word that's not ever been used on this podcast. And I'm like, "Well, did he buy anything?" She said, "No, didn't even fucking buy anything after that." Well, then he wasn't a customer, was he? Anyway, but this thing, this poetry festival, was just filled with people wearing these frigging hats. And Deb comes over and she's like, "How's it going, John? You sold many bags." I said, "No." And I said, "Whenever I see somebody in one of those hats, I just feel like punching everything I see until my hands are broken and bleeding." And that's the day I earned my nickname, which was John the Psycho on that particular market.
Not John the Handbag.
Nope.
Handbag John surely would have been the go-to. Handbag Johnny. Handbag Jono, because it's got to be shorter, right?
You need a bag.
Handy Jono.
Go and see John the Psycho. He's your bag man.
Yeah. Were they like knockoff Louis Vuittons or like what were they? What were you selling?
No. It was a thing that my ex-wife did.
Oh, okay.
She sort of designed and made some bags and stuff. She did a very, very good job.
Nice.
It's one of those things. She was doing it, so I was helping out on a weekend kind of thing. It's good.
Good for you.
I mean, it's probably as good as the tone in my voice is making it sound.
I'm overcome with excitement.
I've practically shat.
Yeah. So what else has been going on?
It's a good question.
Since I've been away on my grand adventures.
So I canvassed interest in shorter episodes of the podcast.
Ah, okay.
And the feedback has been startling.
Yeah.
I haven't had any feedback.
We need more. Go longer. Is that the feedback?
I'm going to say 10-hour episodes. Well, do you know what, right? My mate
just Al, live stream.
My mate Al, all day. I'm just sitting here working. What's he doing now? He's picking his nose again. Surely there can't be anything up there now.
We'll put it on an OnlyFans. We'll make a fortune.
My mate Al's podcast. It's like 3 hours, 4 hours. And admittedly, they break it up into chunks.
Oh, you made us.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I mean, that's the number one music podcast in the UK.
Well, the thing is, like, I think from what I can figure out from our audience looking at the data as well, is that a lot of people will either do listen to this when they commute or listen to this while they're working.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of a lot of people.
I got sent a picture from a listener just yesterday. They were listening to it while they were driving, and we were on the little screen in their car.
Oh.
I told you we should have done a naked picture. Fucking missed opportunity there. Dad, what are you listening to?
It's for work.
So nobody fed back. So it's kind of, you know, the gambling industry is like, you don't hear from people unless you've really got it badly wrong. So this is the first shorter episode.
Let's see what happens. See what the data says.
Exactly. So we've got Frank Obdavod from casinonews.nl.
Brilliant. It's a solid one. He's talking about Frank.
Smart. Well, he knows that you like him as well, but I don't know whether he likes me.
He's a hard worker. He's a hard worker.
That's why he doesn't like me, because he can smell my weakness.
Yeah.
He's like, Fintan, what are you doing with that guy? You're wasting your talent. You're wasting all that. But because the recording platform completely screwed up its upgrade, I got to see Frank's wallpaper.
Nice.
It's lovely. A mate of his took a really very nice photo of the Bellagio.
Okay. And it's his
back wall. Yeah, it's lovely.
Nice.
It's really, really good. But I learned something. Years ago, I was dealing with New Line, and they were releasing Lord of the Rings. And my thought he was a graphic designer was actually just a complete raging penis boss. And anybody that's worked with me will know exactly who I'm talking about. I thought he'd cut his head, but then I realized it was a bandana. It's a big clue there. He just kept saying, oh, we need a high-res image. We need a high-res image. And they sent me the image that they used to create the graphics files to put on the sides of buses.
Hmm.
They're like, it's the biggest thing.
So very high-res.
Biggest thing. Yeah, sure. But actually, it's not how the eye works. So it's a big file, and it had loads of stuff in it. You know, it had loads of pixels.
Oh.
But it also had loads of noise, and it wasn't a super sharp image because it was made to be seen 30 feet wide kind of thing. So there's the publisher, and he's like, oh, shit, this image is shit. What are they playing at? Blah, 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 blah. When in fact, he was asking for the wrong thing entirely. But I learned a lot that day. I already knew that my boss was a penis. I'd already learned that. So what I couldn't see on here was whether it was a super high res shot that, you know, like a really pin sharp bit of print, or whether it was just a nice and sensible bit of print with a lot of noise on it. But it was a nice photo.
There's a Dutch company that does the famous photographs, or famous like paintings, like Van Gogh or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But they do it really like pixelated, but like really big pixels. So you've got to kind of stand back, and then your brain goes, "Oh, I know what painting that is." But it's only like it's just big kind of just blocks of color, and they pixelate it out. I think they used to make it in Lego or something. It's really cool.
Nice.
Yeah,
I mean, the only Dutch companies that you really want to be interested in, apart from Frank and casinonews.nl, that's news spelled the Dutch way, N-I-E-U-W-S. U-W-S, yeah. Is Dutch Ovens. And I'm trying to keep that term alive because I think there's a younger generation now that don't really know what a Dutch oven is.
It's true.
But you presumably do. You're married.
Of course.
You're married and Irish, and you're married to an Australian woman. Of course you know what a Dutch oven is. But do the Dutch just call it an oven? I didn't think to ask Frank.
I've never been in that position with a Dutch person.
You live in the Netherlands. You can literally go outside now and just ask somebody, excuse me, sir. No? Do you know what I'm saying? Excuse me. I've probably told this story on this podcast before, but I'm going to tell it again because it's a great story. Peter Sellers, he of the Pink Panther fame, comedy genius, Dr. Strangelove, etc., right? I know you're busy and important. You've got meetings to go to. I'm talking to Fintan, not you, Mr. Listener, or Mrs. Listener, Mrs. Listener, although you are important and probably have meetings to go to as well. Peter Sellers, right, turns up. He used to be in a comedy ensemble called The Goons with a guy called Harry Secombe. And one morning, Harry Secombe is woken up. And when I say one morning, I mean 3 o'clock in the morning. Woken up, doorbell ringing, banging on the door, banging on the door. Opens the door, bleary-eyed, and there's Peter Sellers standing there naked, except for a trilby. And this is why trilbies are cool hats. And apparently Sellers just looked at him, so turns back to him, stark naked except for that, just tips the hat and says, "Excuse me, my good man, do you know any good tailors?" Oh, I love it. So, yeah, we talked to Frank. I talked to Frank. Okay,
so what did Frank talk about?
We talked about so Frank sort of let fly with his, because he's a bit of a casino industry influencer.
He is. You
know? He doesn't know it, but he denies it.
Oh, he is. No, he's too polite.
He was letting fly with some thoughts on the consultation and you know. I mean, you know, if it's your sort of domestic industry, you want to make sure that the right voices, or in fact, all the voices are heard in a consultation. I mean, that's surely the point of a consultation. And he made some points about that. And so we were talking about that. And we were talking about the changes in Curacao. Mm. And I learned that the cows in Curacao, the milk is blue. I might be remembering that wrong because it's been a couple of days, but it was something like that.
Sure, that sounds completely feasible.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, have to listen to find out.
Yeah, listen and find out. And let us know what you think of the shorter format, because, you know, actually, I think we've been talking for almost as long as I talked to Frank.
Is that, that's going to be...
We just doubled the length of the episode.
Intro.
Fuck. That's where we can shave the time down. When I was talking to Claire in the other episode, you know, all I had to do was stop her when she raised the book club. Instead of going, "Oh, you're in a book club. That sounds good." that's another 10 minutes. Shit. It's me. I'm the problem. My dad was right. Still, I can't unpiss on his grave.
Oof.
I'm all just right. Kidding. He was cremated.
On that bombshell.
yes, enjoy the episode and
give us some feedback.
Oh yeah, that too. This is Mike. Mike's boss asked him to find a new iGaming platform for the company's multi-million dollar new project. Mike found one, but it wasn't very good. In fact, it was shitty. Now Mike's partner has left him. He has no friends. And he recently caught crabs. Possibly from a dirty toilet seat. Don't be like Mike. Choose Sporting Tech. Sporting Tech, for all your iGaming platform needs. Other iGaming platforms are available. And so... Oh, I've got to stop doing it. I've got to be more prepared. I've got to think. Right, so we've got Frank on. Frank can go in the first spot. And then when I come to do this, I'll just be like, we go on to our first guest on today's episode, Frank Up the Wood, the bloke from CasinoNews.nl. Casino News, spelt the Dutch way, NIEWS.nl. Frank, welcome back.
I'm so happy to be here again.
You see, I wish that we were doing this in video so people could see just how happy you are.
And they can see my giant Bellagio background, because I'm a true casino fan.
That is some wallpaper. Yeah. That is, it's pretty sexy.
My buddy actually made that photo.
Danny, oh, nice. Maxwell,
one of the world's best photographers. So,
what? Hang on, did you say one of the world's best photographers?
Poker photographers.
Well, that's, I mean, surely quite a small pool.
There's actually a very big group of talented photographers. He's just my buddy, so that's why I'm calling him one of the best. But there's numerous really good poker photographers, because poker's really, when it comes down to it, kind of a boring game, right? People are just sitting at a table playing cards. So if you're a photographer and that's your job, you need to make sure that it's a little bit exciting. And that's what these guys do well. So, yeah, I mean, Danny is great. But he's also a big fan of Las Vegas, and that's why he made those photos. And I was happy to put it on my wallpaper. But we're getting off track again, huh?
Frank, I spend my life off track. Yeah. I'm practically a fucking mountain bike.
But you didn't call me to tell you about my beautiful wallpaper, I imagine. What do you want to know today, John?
Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Just okay. One thing. I'd like you to just recommend to your friend that something I think would work really well in poker photography is if he set fire to the cards.
Yeah, I'm not sure if people would, at the table would like it, but yeah.
I would use the paper cards for that, not the plastic based ones. But yeah,
I'll be sure to mention that. I'll mention
and
it.
Yeah. Also, if he's going to use an accelerant, I wouldn't use diesel. I would go for something, you know, more like a petrol, where it's the vapor that burns rather than the actual liquid. Because okay, you know what, your player's know, yeah. getting injured. You just want a dramatic shot. You know?
You somehow sound like an expert on this.
Well, you know, I've seen some photographs. Yeah. So anyway, Frank, you've got newfound status as an industry influencer. I heard recently. What's been going on? You've been commenting on the consultation that we were talking about last time you were on. Bring us up to date.
Yeah, so basically, you know, we regulated the market here in the Netherlands, or at least not we. The market was regulated October 1st, legal online gambling in the Netherlands. Everyone was very excited. Obviously, everyone wanted to get some market share. So there was a lot of marketing, a lot of TV commercials, and that pissed people off. So before you knew it, the politics responded. The minister has set for a total ban on basically all untargeted advertisements. It's still in the works, but the first phase should already get underway on January 1st. So it's only a couple months away. And they opened public consultation. So basically anyone in the world can leave their comments. And I was one of the so far 8 to do so, because some of the things that are in there are worded, and to me, they sound problematic. And basically, obviously, I have a website. Obviously, I am an affiliate, so it's out of self-interest that I'm responding. So that be clear. But besides me looking out for my own interest, I feel that if the decree would be implemented the way it's worded right now, that would be basically the end of a regulated Dutch market. I mean, it's basically what it says is you need to make sure that someone is not 24 years or younger and they don't have any gambling problems. Well, me as a website, as an affiliate, I obviously don't target young adults. I don't target gambling addicts. But there's no way for me to 100% guarantee that someone that looks at my website isn't 24 years or younger and isn't a gambling addict. And if this decree would be implemented, I would basically be in violation. And ultimately, that could result in me basically, you know, pulling the plug or getting fined and pulling the plug. And if I stop, obviously there will be plenty of people happy to take the spot in the top 10 when you Google a legal online casino in the Netherlands. But if I would stop, basically all the people that are interested in the regulated market promoting the licensed online casinos they would all stop, and who's going to take over? I call them the cowboys, you know, people that don't care about regulation, don't care about targeting just 24 years, people 24 years and older and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, that's why I responded, and I hope to be invited and talk with the ministry and explain my thinking, and hopefully they'll change a bit of the wording. That's basically it.
I've got to ask, where it seems arbitrary at best. Where does the figure of 24 years old come from?
There is actually quite a bit of research that young adults are more and more easily influenced and more susceptible. No, what's the word?
Susceptible.
Yeah, for getting addicted. So basically, everyone is considered an adult at 18 years of age in the Netherlands, and they are allowed to gamble online and are allowed to gamble in the land-based casinos. But till the age of 24, they're still more easily getting into an addiction. So when it comes to targeting people. With an affiliate website or basically any other sort of marketing, you can't focus on the group of younger than 24. And that is based in the research that there is. So,
hang on now. What are the legal ages for drinking and smoking?
Ooh, it's been a while for me. I think everything is 18 now. I'm not 100% sure.
I think everything is 18 as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're more susceptible to addiction as a young adult, then you're more susceptible to addiction. It's not necessarily a particular type of addiction, I wouldn't have thought. I mean, I'm no expert, although we've had many experts on here. I'm going to have to ask somebody that one. But it seems a little bit odd that you can be addicted to smoking and addicted to alcohol, but you've got to save your gambling addiction for 6 whole years. Why not do them all together?
I mean, when it comes to marketing, when it comes to targeting people, I'm 100% sure that like, let's say Heineken in the Netherlands, they can't target Heineken beer at 24 years or younger anyway. So people are allowed to gamble, but as a brand, as an online casino, you just can't target that age group. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's
but
it's,
how do you, here's, it, but here, how do you recognize whether somebody has targeted somebody at 24? Does the marketing have to say, hey, we really only want people that are 18 to 23? Of course it doesn't. I mean, you know, it's a really difficult, well, it's a really impossible thing to define. Yeah, I know people in their 40s who act like they're 20 and they're fucking idiots. You can't legislate against people being fucking idiots.
No. But, I mean, I don't have any issue with not being allowed to target 24 years or younger at all. I mean, basically what we do right now, if when I signed an agreement with, let's say, Holland Casino, I show them a print screen of my Google Analytics, and it shows that the group 18 to 24 is only, in my case, I think it's 6 or 7%. So, and then Holland Casino says, okay, your website is clearly not targeting that group. Otherwise, it would be much bigger. I think you're doing a good job and we can sign that agreement. But again, I can't prove that 100% is 24 years or older. And that's where it becomes problematic, not just for me, but for all affiliates, I feel. Because, I mean, when you sign up for an online casino, you obviously have to register, you have to show your passport or your driver's license so people know for sure that you're 24 or 18 years or older. But when you go to an affiliate website, you know, if that's my website or any other, obviously you're not going to register. Obviously you're not going to show your driver's license or your passport to me. That would be a violation of a whole different set of rules. So I can never 100% guarantee that a visitor to my website is not 24 years or younger. So, yeah, I mean, that's the issue, really, I feel.
Well, wise words from an industry influencer. But actually the main reason that I contacted you to come on, thinking about it, hang on a sec, I was going to grab my phone because, Fintan had some questions there. Last time I said Fintan had some questions, which was last episode, which I'm a bit late with. I'm working on it today. He gave me a really shit question, which was turned out to be hugely embarrassing, and it was nothing to do with the person that was interviewing's company at all.
I would cut it out if I were you, but yeah.
No, I've left it in there because I need Fenton to know that he's got to raise his game or he's dead to us. By us, I mean the industry. Just because he's, you know, busy and important executive, you know what I mean?
Yeah, he needs to be on the ball more, huh?
He does. I mean, he dropped the ball there, Frank. I've got to be honest with you. He was probably spending too much time on hair care products, which is not an issue for me. So Curaçao, right? That's what I wanted to talk to you about, Curaçao. Now, other than a drink that nobody drinks, which as I recall, is it blue? Is Curaçao blue?
It's very, very blue, yeah.
Yeah, I seem to remember it being the one thing that would be left in the drinks cupboard after everything else had been drunk. But maybe I just know really classy people.
Yeah, I've had a few Curaçao drinks when I was younger, and thinking about it right now makes me disgusted. But yeah.
Did you ever vomit blue?
Yes.
Awesome. thank you for being so candid. I appreciate that. Is there a relationship between Netherlands and Curaçao? Is it a Dutch territory? Because I know there's a lot of Dutch territories around the world.
So there's a long history, obviously, between Curaçao and the Netherlands. It used to be part of our territory. They are independent right now, but there's still a lot of ties, obviously, between our countries. And one of the things that probably has set in motion, at least in some part, the new regulation that's coming up in Curaçao is that the Dutch government kind of demands that they change their situation with the regulator that basically is not really a regulator right now in Curaçao. During the pandemic, the Netherlands helped out Curaçao, I think to the tune of 15 million. But one of the things listed was you guys can have this money, but you need to change the situation when it comes to internet gambling and the regulation over there. So obviously they don't see it that way, but that is part of why it was set in motion. And that's why they're still working on it right now. They've been working on it for a little while. And I think now basically it's set for the end of the year, should become a new law. And I saw this week in iGaming Next, they were talking about March 2023. So there's always a little bit of wiggle room. But yeah, I think they're on track now to really change things around over there. Because the current situation is a bit different from most places in the world. Instead of a government-controlled regulator that issues licenses, they have issued a handful of licenses. And these master license holder, they provide sub-license to online casinos. And those sub-licensees, they pay a fee to the master license holder, but the master license holder is just basically a company. It's not the government. So they're changing that whole situation. So instead of a regulator that really doesn't do a whole lot, all these online casinos need now are going to need to apply to the regulator. That's basically, in short, what they're working on. And that comes more in line with what the rest of the world is doing, obviously.
Well, that's a pretty big change. Because I know, certainly in the past, I've chuckled when I've seen the words licensed in Curaçao. I just assumed it was something that came free in a box of cereal or possibly with a hotel room. It's like, here's the internet password, sir, and here's an iGaming license. I just thought it was that simple.
Well, you would have to fork out over a couple thousand, but basically that's my understanding as well, that it's relatively easy. Obviously, the master license holder will tell you that, you know, they do their due diligences. But in general, I feel it's safe to say that it was one of the easiest licenses to get in the whole world. And basically you needed to fill out the form and you would be issued a license. And that was the situation. And obviously, what the main issue the Curaçao government had with that is that they didn't get any taxes over all the money that was made in those in their territory, basically. Yeah, and that opens up a new issue, of course, because they are changing the laws. The operators are going to need to pay a little bit more money, but. Yeah, if it becomes too regulated or too strict or too expensive, obviously they're going to look at other territories in the world. And that was basically the main thing that was happening, I think, last week. iGaming Next had an interview with anonymous sources, CEOs of online casinos that were licensed in Curaçao. They were basically saying, well, you know, if this is the way they're going to do it, we're probably going to move, or at least we're going to look into moving to Costa Rica or some sort of part of Panama or Isle of Man. Or they didn't mention Malta because that's European Union as well. But I mean, basically, it was kind of a threat, you know, like to the Curaçao government. Like, okay, you guys think that when you change everything, you're just going to make more money, but there are alternatives. And yeah. So it's not probably what you're looking for, but basically only time will tell. There's no way of knowing exactly which way they're exactly going. The minister in Curaçao that's responsible for online gambling. Gambling has been a minister for a year now. He's made it very clear that to him it's about getting more money to the island of Curaçao, which is, I mean, fair enough, but if I were him, I would at least say that it's about responsible gambling and a little bit like that as well. But to him, it's been very clear that it's about the money. And he's been in contact. They had, I think last week or the week before on a Friday, had basically a public consultation as well, where he talked with all the trust firms on the island. Because obviously... Curaçao demands that if you have a license on Curaçao, you need to have your office on Curaçao as well. Obviously, Curaçao is very small, and all these casino owners, they're not going to move to Curaçao. So they have these trust officers. Basically, some of them run as a CEO basically for hundreds of online casinos. So the Curaçao government talked to the trust people from the trust sector, and I mean, it's slow pacing, but it's moving forward, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it is going to be very interesting. And like you say, I wonder if they are going to move where they're going to move to. But you know, the other option they have is to try it out. It might work better. It might be a step towards a better and healthier business, and a more respected. But I don't know. Am I being too idealistic? I am, aren't I? I'm being naive.
I mean, obviously, there you can't generalize and say that all the Curaçao licensed online casinos or bookmakers or poker rooms in the world are solely there because it's so easy to get a license. But in general, obviously, it's not because they're such a huge fan of Curaçao. It's part of the business and looking where to get a license, because you know, if they want to have a credit card or software providers, everyone demands at least some sort of license, and Curaçao one is an easy one to get. So yeah, I mean, time will tell if they indeed move to different jurisdictions, or do they stay with Curaçao. I mean, I don't think a whole lot of these companies are really objecting to paying a little bit more directly to the regulator, directly to the country of Curaçao, instead of paying it towards a master license holder that really doesn't do a whole lot. Yeah, but if the costs grow, then obviously they'll make their new judgment and see what works and what doesn't work.
Well, they've got to get something for their money, haven't they? Fundamentally, there has to be, you know. So, I mean, for example, if greater tax revenue comes in, or if you know, revenue from licensing comes in, is that fed back into the community? Does that, is that reflected in better healthcare, better education, et cetera, where if the company has to have an office there, there is a very direct and very obvious benefit, for example. Even in the potential workforce available in Curacao, I mean, that kind of thing is actually huge for somebody that has to have an office somewhere. So yeah, it's not money that's pissed away.
No, for sure. And obviously, the minister at Curacao, he's promising that the money goes towards, you know, the benefit of the country. And the master license holder arm, you know, they are making changes as well. You know, they are hiring new people. I think earlier this year, they were looking for 250 new compliance officers on the island. Curacao is very small, so I mean, it is definitely part of the industry there, specifically after tourism probably died down a little bit during Corona. So yeah, it's not something that's taken lightly. It's very much part of the country, and so they need to tread lightly, I feel.
Do you think that possibly penalties for license transgressions in Curacao could involve drinking penalties where they have to drink Curacao?
it's not a bad idea, actually. But yeah, then they need to fly someone over to Curacao to drink that Curacao over there, I feel.
Yeah, it's got to have a local flavor. They could actually drink it fresh from the cow.
I'm not sure if that's the way it works, but yeah.
Really? I just assumed there was some magical cow on Curacao that produced this delicious blue nectar. It's amazing what you learn in a day. It's amazing what you learn on this podcast.
There's a little bit of fake news thrown in there, but yeah.
Well, it's not my fault if you turn up spouting your fake news.
Is this Fintan again with his notes about the cows and stuff?
Sadly not, that's all me. But I can see why you would think that, and I respect you for that even more, Frank. Frank, thank you so much for joining us again. Again, it's casinonews.nl, casino, NIEWS.nl, for all of your, you know, Netherlands news-related stuff. And look up Frank on LinkedIn, where you'll be able to share some of his industry-influencing thoughts.
Yeah, thanks.
Imagine an iGaming platform so good it'll make you shit your pants.
Sporting Tips!